This episode is brought to you by our Hosting Handbook mini course. Whether you're already hosting guests on Airbnb or you're still trying to soak up as much knowledge as you can, this course is the ultimate cheat sheet.
It can transform your hosting from hobby to business. Get our coveted templates that include the welcome book, turnover handbook, and supply closet spreadsheet, and other great bonuses you don't want to miss.
Our hosting handbook is usually priced at $297, but for a very limited time, you can grab your seat for just $67. Head to www.thanksforvisiting.me/hosting handbook to get all the deets. Now, on to the show.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hey, listeners, welcome back for another great week. I'm Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. All right, let's kick this off with our STR Share Sunday. That is our hashtag. You can find us on Instagram. If you use it, we will share you on the podcast. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
We are sharing at Heaven Scent Cabin, and the scent is C-E-N-T. Right. And it's hosted by Judy. And it's in Clayton, Georgia. Sarah, what do we love about her listing?
There's a lot of things to love about her listing. She's got great photography. She's got a cozy space. She brings her potential guests in with all the what's going around her cabin. There's mountains. There's a lot of beautiful things. But the thing that we love the most is there are things to note at her cabin, just like there are things to note at every urban short-term rental, every giant lodge, every place.
Beach home.
There is something to note. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it, you know, unique and short-term rental-y. And so she's got these under her things to note, things like, you know, children are allowed, but it should be noted this is not a kid-friendly home. There are a large number of stairs in and surrounding the home that could be dangerous for children. There's a single dead-end road on which the cabin is located. So there's only room for three vehicles. And she goes on to talk about the unique aspects of her parking situation. And here's our favorite.
Mm-hmm.
The seventh guest space is located inside the master suite on the second level. It includes a twin bed, a side table, and a lamp, but you can only enter it through the master suite. So she's just letting you know, like, if that's not your jam, I then have six guest spaces and not seven.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What we love is Judy is like, there's not going to be any surprises.
No.
When people show up.
Right.
And that, we've got to be fair to the guest and give them as much information and be as forthcoming about all of the arrangements in your home before guests arrive. One short note that I want to make before we move on to this episode is that Judy, I love the way that she's putting her five-star reviews actually in her Instagram feed. So it's a ton of photos of her property and then she'll break it up with those reviews and they're great. So I know exactly what other people, that social proof of how amazing her space is. So again, thank you at Heaven Scent Cabin. Everybody give her a heart, like her, go to her Airbnb, put it on your wish list and make sure to use the hashtag STRShareSunday and we can't wait to share you. All right, Sarah, now let's get on to the show.
We got a fun series for you listeners. We've not done this yet, but In 2020, we asked you, our listeners, our email list tribe, what do you want to hear in 2021? A lot of you are interested in getting your first property, buying a second property, getting started. What's it like? What do I look for? So then Shannon, an avid listener, wrote in and she was like, hey, I'm about to start on this journey. Any chance you guys would be interested in helping me, you know, chronicle it or share my experience? And we're like, if you're willing to be vulnerable and honest and share all the deets and the numbers and all the good stuff, that would be amazing. We would be totally down for that. So Shannon is on the show today. She is a realtor here in Columbus, Ohio, actually. So that was also a treat. But she's actually looking outside of Columbus for her short-term rental. She's a realtor with RE/MAX affiliates, and she is just starting out on the road to becoming a short-term rental hostess. But listeners, fear not. The whole story has been recorded. We've got what happens at the end. So you'll have to just stay tuned to follow Shannon's journey. Shannon, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, Shannon. So let's take our listeners. Let's start at the very beginning and what even piqued your interest in wanting to, you know, shop for a short-term rental?
Well, my husband and I have been considering getting into the investment game for a while, and we were looking at long-term investment properties. And then when I found Thanks for Visiting, my interest was piqued in short-term rentals. And we were planning a snowshoe trip with my brother and sister-in-law, because aren't we all doing things where we can drive this year? And when I started looking into booking our reservations, after I was getting pricing and things of that nature, I thought, you know what? This might actually be a great opportunity for us to try our hand at the short-term rental world, because we love to ski. It really enjoy snowshoe. It's one of the, in my opinion, it's one of the more fun places to ski within a drivable distance of Columbus. And so that is kind of how we started on this road to a short-term rental.
Shannon, how far is the drive door-to-door for you right now? Or would it be?
Door-to-door is just under 6 hours, including like 2 stops.
Okay, cool. And is
just
your
just for our listeners really quick, Snowshoe at, Shannon?
Okay, so Snowshoe is in West Virginia, down in the Appalachian Mountains.
Awesome. And is your husband, was he on board, or is this a Shannon idea that you had to sell your husband on?
Oh, absolutely. A Shannon idea I had to sell him on.
Okay.
He is not in the real estate world. He's actually in the IT world. And so real estate is completely like not necessarily on his radar. So how I presented this to him was, hey, babe, do you want to take a road trip to snowshoe with me? And he was like, what are you doing? What are you planning? And I said, well, I might have done something where I called our lender.
Oh, wow. Might have took some serious action.
Yeah. And so he was like, all right, I'm game. This is your thing. Let's see what happens.
Okay, so take us back to that. You went ahead and called your lender to see what you could be pre-approved for?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily what we could be pre-approved for, but I guess taking it back even further, I had emailed a realtor in that area. And for anybody wanting to know how I found that agent, I just went on to Google and Googled snowshoe realtors, which I'm sure is probably kind of surprising since I am a realtor that I went about it like that. But I figured because it is resort type area, more likely than not, there were probably agents that specialized in that specific niche market. And so I did. I found an agent. Actually, it's a husband-wife team, and she's worked in that area on and off for 34 years. So I actually reached out to her first, just to kind of to get some listings. I had looked on Zillow a little bit, but usually going to an agent, you know, they've either got stuff coming up that they can tell you about, or they usually have a little more insight. And then I wanted her to know that I was serious and not just necessarily, not wasting her time. So I reached out to a lender that I work with quite a bit that had actually already pre-approved us for a long-term investment property to get a pre-approval letter so I could share it with her. So she knew that, you know, she was spending time on a viable buyer.
Nice. Okay.
Okay. And then will you be treating this home as a second home, or what is that financing going to look like? Do you know yet?
Yes. So something I learned this summer, actually, a friend of mine was buying an investment property, and I learned through him that if you buy as a second home, you actually can put less money down than if you're buying as, you know, a typical investment property. So usually if you're buying, let's say, a long-term investment property, most lenders will require you to put at least 20% down. Some are 25%. Once in a while, you can find one that'll do 15%, but they're pretty few and far between, and you have to have pretty stellar financing for that. Or I'm sorry, credit rate,
right?
Credit reading. But if you're doing a second home, you actually can do 10% down.
That's great. A score. That's awesome.
And is that what you guys are planning on doing? Is putting 10% down, Shannon?
Yes. That is our plan.
Okay. And Shannon, is it just you and your husband that would be going in on this short-term rental or vacation home together?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. And then I've got more questions about that. Are you two going to keep it in your name, or is it going to be in an LLC?
We will probably purchase in our name and then transfer it into an LLC. I'm actually in the process of setting up an LLC right now for my real estate business. Mm-hmm. So that's where it will go eventually, but it will be starting out, it will be under our names.
And then did you have to convince did you have to show your husband numbers? Did you just bat your eyes? Did you promise him a week of watching Star Trek unbothered? Like, how did you convince him to come on this journey with you?
So a little bit of both, so to speak. I'm definitely our financial planner, but he kind of is in charge of all of our like retirement investment stuff. And then I handle all of our day-to-day, you know, banking. I pay the bills. I love him, but if something happens to me, he would definitely be like, how do we pay our mortgage every month? So what I did, part of it is because I had already started looking at long-term investment properties. So I was trying to, with this, I'm like, this is just a little bit different route, and we would be able to use it for our personal use. So it would be not just an investment where hopefully we'll be making some money, but we'll also be able to spend some family time there and use it as a getaway as well. And so his basic response was, hey, if the numbers work and you feel good about it, then let's go for it.
Oh, okay. So then what's higher, the cash flow or a place for you guys to escape to?
I would have to say cash flow is probably the most important, with a place to escape to being number two. Okay. We do like to travel a lot, but with COVID happening in 2020, that definitely cramped a lot of our plans. Sure. So, you know, it was more important for us to find somewhere drivable that we could go to spend time as well. And the other thing being that our kids are getting to the age where they're learning to ski. They're both outdoor kids. So it would be something that over the next 10 years, I really think will be an easy place for us to escape to on a weekend when they're out of school. 6-hour drive. It's something we can leave after work and be there in the evening and then hop on the slopes in the morning. So I would have to say it's a little bit of both. Probably cash flow is most important, because at a minimum, we would at least want to break even. But I think to justify the time and effort we're putting in, we'd definitely want some cash flow as a priority. We wouldn't want to do it and lose money, even if we're getting a personal benefit out of it.
And when you were thinking about your long-term property investment, just to kind of do some parallels here, was it something that you and your husband, you would be the landlords of that property, you would be involved in it, and it would be local, closer to you?
Yes.
Okay. So you're already going down that road of A, purchasing a property, and B, having additional responsibilities added onto your plate with that investment.
Right.
Okay. So you're not veering too far left of things that were kind of already in the works.
Now, what is Snowshoes Market like, Shannon? Is it, have people owned the short-term rentals there for forever and it's tough to get in? They don't like new owners. Is it all vacation, or does it also have a residential component to it where people kind of live there as well? Talk to us about that. And were there any challenges that you were willing to like face or just come to terms with in order to be able to have your short-term rental at a place you've already liked going to before?
So it's a really interesting market. It is set up as kind of a resort type atmosphere. In the winter, they have skiing. In the summer, they have mountain biking. There's a golf course there. There's also hot tubs and there is a pool. But each, they've built different housing communities at different times. And so some have access to hot tubs and pools. Some are set up that you can have your own hot tub installed. So it just kind of depends on which little community you're looking at, exactly which features they have. The real estate agent, that was actually one of the questions that we had asked her, was how many people actually live here year round? And she said it just depended on the community, but there are definitely year round residents that live there.
And so if you guys wanted to, have an exit strategy, is it pretty easy to sell if you needed to sell this down the road for whatever reason?
I think so, especially if we can show cash flow to investors that would be moving in. Mm-hmm. The other exit strategy that we also have is they do have some people that do long-term rentals there as well. Now she said those don't cash flow quite as well, but that is something that we could look into. I think some of the people that work there, you know, seasonally may also need housing as well. I don't know that every single person that works there necessarily lives in the surrounding area. I'm sure there's some people who, you know, just love to ski. So they come, like college kids, and well, maybe not college kids, but kids out of college that, you know, just want a fun winter job, that may come and need somewhere to live for the ski season as well.
Sure.
And we haven't told our listeners yet, but Shannon and her husband just returned home actually today, the day that we're recording, from their first trip as investors to look at properties. So Shannon, do you want to give us a rundown of, once you secured this realtor, what were the next steps of, you know, planning a one-day visit to knock out looking at the properties, and talk us through your first initial reaction now as an investor versus being, you know, a visitor there?
So the first thing we did, when I contacted the agent, I had to give her a price range that we're looking at. Because as you can imagine, you know, sky's the limit on price. I mean, there's penthouse suites that you could probably buy for, you know, $600,000, which that's definitely not the price range we're in. So, the initial conversation I had with the realtor is she wanted to know like what we were looking for, what our purpose was going to be, price range we wanted to stay within. And so for us personally, I told her I really wanted to stay under $300,000. We would like to have a 4-bedroom, or more would be fine, but at least a 4-bedroom, because when we travel down there personally, who we more likely than not would be going with would be ourselves, our 2 kids, probably my brother and sister-in-law and their son. And so I'm like, I really ideally want a place that when we go down there, if we take family, friends with us or family, you know, I want to make sure we're comfortable. That's my first priority in what we're looking for. So based on just that very loose criteria, she sent me, you know, properties that were available. And there were about 13 that met that criteria for us to look at. We didn't look at all 13. I went through, and because we've stayed there before, I knew there were a couple different setups that I was not interested in. I really wanted more of a townhome type feel. Mm-hmm. I really didn't want to be, I don't know what the technical word is for it, but I didn't want to be in like a hotel type setting, because they do have that type situation. I really wanted to be somewhere that could be considered ski in, ski out. But the most important thing for me was just that we were in more of an individual, like traditional type condo, townhome type situation. So we narrowed it down to 7 units that were available for us to look at when we were there yesterday.
Okay. And what you find?
What are we excited today? Are we, you know, ready to sign something, or are we deflated? Where are we sitting right now?
I'm sitting in a puddle of confusion, a little bit because, so how it ended up working out because of the size we were looking for and the price range we wanted to stay in, the 7 units ended up being in 2 different communities. So in a community called Creekside, there were 4 units for us to look at. And in a community called Shamrock, there were 3 units for us to look at. And what is causing the confusion is that there were good and bad about both. Mm. One being that Creekside is newer built. It was built in like 2004, 2005. They're beautiful townhomes, but they don't have the location that I was hoping for on the mountain. They're farther away. You would have to catch a shuttle to go to most of the skiing. It is walkable to the Tubing Hill and the night skiing, however, and to the brewery that's there. There's a new brewery, so that my husband was all in for walking to the brewery. And the food was delicious because we did eat there. It was really good. But Shamrock is a really cool location because it's pretty much ski in, ski out to some of the greens. And the thing about those, well, I love the price on those. They're a little bit cheaper, but they are the original condos that were built there in the late 70s, in the mid to late 70s. So Creekside, a little more expensive, not as great of a location, but beautiful, ready to go. And oh, I should mention all these units, they're all sold furnished.
Okay.
And when Creekside was built, the builder actually sold them furnished. So all of the furnishings in these units, like if you go on to VRBO or Airbnb, they also rent them through Snowshoe. They all have the same furniture.
Okay.
Which I'm like, I don't know. I'm a little torn on that. I'm like, I kind of want to put my own spin on it. But I mean, they would be ready to rock and roll, right? Like we wouldn't have to put any money into them. We could just go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Shamrock is more of the traditional like ski rental that you think of, like the wood walls.
Mm-hmm.
And legit, we saw one with the original spiral staircase.
Oh, wow.
In it, which I'm like, oh my gosh, I would probably end up breaking my neck on that. But a lot of those have had those taken out and a regular staircase put in. So the Shamrock units are a little more dated. They would require more work, and they would require new furniture too. Cause like straight up some of these, God love them, but they look like they were from Hot Tub Time Machine. I don't know if you ever watched that movie, but like some had a definite 80s, early 90s vibe.
Yeah. Well, so, let's talk about your budget then. This is an interesting thing on long term versus short term. Mm-hmm. When you and your husband were, you know, when you're doing your numbers, was your plan, obviously if you bought a long term, you weren't going to have to furnish it. Did you budget in furnishings for your short term rental? Was that part of the numbers that you've been crunching?
Yes.
Okay. So it just so happens that where you're looking, they come furnished, but you have a buffer in there. If you needed to put your own spin or refurbish some things, you could.
Right. Because I figured no matter, like when I found out these were all sold furnished, I'm like, fantastic. However, I'm buying new mattresses. Right. I don't care. Like we need new mattresses. I need to know that they were brand new when we started for my own personal, you know, I want to wrap them like they should be wrapped and protect them and make sure they're, you know.
No, for sure. We're on the same wavelength there.
So we've got great location but dated, or fine location but new and turnkey.
Right.
If we break it down for listeners. Okay. So, and you're confused. You're sitting in your puddle of confusion. How do you unconfuse yourself? You go back and look? Are you going to make a decision on what's available? What are you guys? I know you are fresh coming back just now, but what are you thinking?
Well, the first thing I did, so there's a couple different ways that you can rent these units out. So you can go through the Snowshoe Management Company and they handle everything for you. They set the pricing. They, you know, it's advertised on their website. When people call them to book lift tickets and reservations, like they take care of everything. So you can do that, or you can go completely on your own and do like VRBO or Airbnb. So the one unit at Creekside that we like the best is currently on VRBO. So I looked up that listing and started looking at what their rates are per night and what they're booking, like what's been booked so far this season, mm-hmm. which is kind of the nice part of looking at this time of year, because the peak season for Snowshoe is December 19th through probably March, depending on how much snow we get and that kind of stuff. So right now all the calendars are open and I can see what the rates are that everybody's charging. Mm-hmm. The Shamrock unit that we liked that needed the least amount of updates is run through Snowshoe. So on the way back today, I texted the agent and asked her if she could find out how many nights are rented through Snowshoe right now. And then I also had to ask about the contract. You know, if this particular client is contracted with Snowshoe, how long does that go? You know, am I committed to that because they're committed to it? That sort of thing. So she texted me back and she said that actually Snowshoe Homeowner Services isn't open on the weekends. And so she would let me know Monday how many nights are booked currently. She said she would find out for me if we had to honor those bookings, which, I mean, honestly, I would honor them anyways, because that's kind of, that'd be a real bummer not to do that. And then she told me that their contracts run May to May. However, when you buy from someone, you do have an opportunity at that time to end the agreement with Snowshoe for management. So that's a couple of the things that we're looking at numbers-wise is what do they already have booked? What are they currently renting at? What does that picture look like?
Okay. Oh, love this. My last question right now is, do you and your husband, is there a deadline in mind for you, or is this a very open-ended project that you really have to, the numbers have to make sense, your gut has to feel good about it? How's the final decision? Where is that on the timeline right now?
I definitely want to make a decision sooner rather than later, just because I'm like, I want to take advantage of the ski season, because the beginning is when, well, I shouldn't say the beginning, but this time of year is when you make the majority of your money. Mm-hmm. The other thing, when I was talking to the agent about updates we'd want to make, she said, now is the time to line up. If you're, you know, let's say you're going to have flooring replaced. She's like, right now, everybody, all the contractors are booked because everybody's gearing up for ski season. Mm. So she said, now is the time to actually book your contractors for, let's say, April or May, because then you're lined up, you're first in line to get any of that work done that you want taken care of.
Gotcha.
So you kind of hop to it if you want to get in this year, if you're going to make it all line up.
Right. Yep. So we'll have to hop to it. The thing that I'm kind of waiting on right now is just some answers on the numbers. It was really helpful to know that we didn't have to go with the Snowshoe management, because I mean, that's kind of my big question. I don't know. We've got to look at cash flow and management fees, and if we want to manage it ourselves, which I would prefer to do that, because I feel like the best way to learn is to kind of jump in and do it.
Yeah. And obviously you can make more, probably a larger amount of money.
What are the management fees out there and what do they encompass?
So the management fees through Snowshoe are 25%.
Okay.
And basically that is them doing the booking for you and advertising. I guess I would say advertising on their website. Mm-hmm. But if you go with them, you cannot put it on VRBO or Airbnb. Oh, gotcha. Or
okay.
Do they have the monopoly over management out there?
The agent said that there are other management companies out there. She named three big management companies there. And from the different cash flows that she was able to share with me from some of the units we looked at, it looks like it's around 22 to 25%.
And will they, then will you just pay extra for like lawn services or snow shoveling? Or, I mean, that doesn't include cleaning and turnovers and that sort of thing, correct?
Right. So the interesting thing about how this is set up is each community actually has a homeowners association. And the homeowners association, part of those fees are what takes care of like landscaping and plowing and trash. And each one's a little bit different. Some HOAs include some of the insurances. Other ones don't. It's added on your property taxes. So that part's a little bit community to community. Mm-hmm. But the management company from what I know so far, is only handling like the bookings.
Well,
and it doesn't include your housekeeping. They charge another 15% for housekeeping.
I was going to say 25% seems low for me in an area like that. I was going to say 35, 40, even 50 in these tourist destination vacation rental areas is not uncommon. So, Shannon, I think I am excited to we're going to wrap this up, but I'm excited to check in where you're at next time, what property you ended up going with, if any at all. And then
maybe actually crunch some numbers and the difference of you hosting versus potentially a management company hosting and see if, and it could be something where Sarah and I even hash that out and give you the truth on, you know, maybe that 25% is way more, you know, it is absolutely worth it. So we can give some feedback there. So take notes when the realtor gets back with you on, you know, the percentage of the occupancy rate and what's going on there. And we're excited to continue to see what happens. Plus, I'm just going to do it right now and invite ourselves to visit.
So I hope that's cool, Shannon.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Annette and I just like to invite ourselves all over this country. It's fine.
Awesome. But no, Shannon, we really appreciate your transparency. And hopefully next time we'll dig in a little bit more to the numbers.
Yeah.
And get you out of your puddle of confusion. That was a really great way to, to describe it. But I know a lot of people sit in a puddle of confusion, but I like that you're taking action. So we can't wait to continue to see what happens next.
Me neither.
All right, Shannon. We'll be in touch soon. Listeners, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant. And together we are...
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros, is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.